I'm telling you, both are saying good. Here's what it says. It's written in the Torah, by the way, this week's parsha, for Hashem, Yahashem, the God of the gods, that's called might, that's called great, and the Lord of the lords, that's a pasuk in this week's parsha, which we'll get to in another screen in a second, but Deuteronomy 10:17. And it is written immediately afterward, and by the way, those are the words in the Gemara. If you look at the second line of the Hebrew, if you have the same screenshot I have, the first words of Iksiv Basrei, it is written immediately afterward, which normally means the next pasuk or something, right after it says these next words. He executes the judgment of the fatherless and the widow. And here, maybe answering your question, Rosen, displaying his humility in caring for even the weakest parts of society. Before we finish that, if that answers your question, let's just see how it's...
It's a different use of the word humility. It's showing his concern for the lowest in society, but that doesn't make him humble.
Right. So you're saying
when you give charity, it's not a sign necessarily of humility.
So how would you? I like what you're saying. You let's switch the word humility because that's just an English word. So how would you contrast that the Lord of the entire universe is dealing with a lonely, fatherless, and widow? So the contrast would be strength to what? Not humility. What would be the word you'd use? In the pasuk you see, immediately after it says he's the Lord of the entire universe, it then says he has humility, which we're not sure about that word humility, in caring for the weakest parts of society.
So they need care of. What's wrong with that?
The question is if Rosen doesn't like the word humility in that case.
I don't see that shows God, as I use the term humility, it shows his concern for the lowest.
Okay.
For the highest and the lowest, the greatest and the smallest.
But the greatest is not what he's concerned for. The greatest is what he is.
That's right. But, you know, he caring for even the weakest parts of society shows his concern
the same. We're equally
right, but the question is since he was so great in the universe, to get involved with such a little thing is a form of humility. I hear. And look, we're going to do it again. It's repeating the prophets. For thus it says, the high and the lofty one that inhabits eternity, that's greatness and mightiness, whose name is sacred, all great, and it written immediately afterward, in the high and the holy place, I dwell with him that is part of contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So again, potentially going, and then the third time, in the writings, extol him who rides upon the clouds, whose name is the Lord, and is written immediately afterward. His more important, his mamash, this is really connected, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows. Here you see fathers and widows as a, again, dealing with the minor league people. So again, if you would just read this Gemara by itself, the greatness of God is from the pasuk, it says in front of us, 10:17, that's what we're dealing with today. For the Lord your God is the God of the Lord of the lords. And the humility aspect, which again, we have to figure out what the exact word humility means here in this situation, would be the fact he deals with the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and that's the same phrase as the last line in bold, the father of the fatherless and the judge of the widows. We see that the high point is universe, and the low point is considered fatherless and widows. And that's a Gemara which, again, in the middle of a Gemara discussing the details of what you read on the Haftaras, it's just a thrown-in event, as far as I know, and then it goes back to it. See? Then it goes back to the Yom Tov Rishon Chag. Now what do you read on Sukkot? Very, very seemingly irrelevant Gemara. Now, let me see if this works.
Let me make a suggestion, Rabbi.
Yes. Oh, good, it works. Yeah.
What it's like is going from the telescope to the microscope.
Meaning?
The power of God and the concern of God goes through the entire universe telescope down to the microscopic we can't even see under the microscope.
Very good. So it's not a word humility, but it's more like he's involved with everything.
That's right.
I like
that's
it.
That's right.
I like it. I'm being honest. And now Charles is agreeing with you. I like it. Okay, now, let's go back to this. Now, this is the verse in front of us that's in blue. That's the verse we just said. For your God, the God of Supreme and Lord Supreme, the great, the mighty, the awesomeness of God. These are a lot of words we say in davening every day. Who shows no favor and takes no bribe. That's what the Torah says, is the greatness of God, according to this Talmud passage. Next verse says, but upholds the cause of the fatherless and the widow and befriends the stranger, providing food and drink. And clothing, that would be the minor amount. So again, this is what the Gemara says. The high point is verse 17, and the low point, which we said before, says immediately afterward, is verse 18. Now let's see the Rashis if they make sense. So in verse 17, we don't have the English yet. Let's see. Oh, So here it says, for the Lord your God is the Lord of the Lords. So this is what the Pasuk was saying was the greatness in the Gemara. Rashi doesn't have to do it. He's the Lord of all those who are Lords, King of Governors, so that no Lord is able to deliver you from his hand. Not relevant to this Talmud passage openly. Next one, the Yisipanim we don't speak about. You can't do that. Here goes 18. Now let's read it very slowly. Here's where we need the lawyer brains. Charles, pay attention. This is a tough one. I'm telling you, if I wouldn't have had this class, I probably could have gone through this Rashi another 1,000 times and not picked up on this. Now, here it says, he executes judgment of the fatherless and the widow. And we said, yeah, that means that he even cares for the lowest. Here it says, you have mention of his power in the preceding verse. And together with his power, you find the mention of his humility here. He executes judgment. Oh, this is no good. That is, so if you would read the Rashi this way, which is, we'll see in the Hebrew in a second, is not the way it's read. That would mean Rashi is just paraphrasing the Talmud of Megillah 31a. That would be very good. Let me just get the Hebrew here, so we see that that's not what it's saying. In the Hebrew, I'm going to read this right here. Do you see my thing moving across? Here it says, now, after read, now, let me just get the English, because this English version right here is genius by Safaria. Safaria is going to mix a few words around based on the question that we're about to ask, that Rashi absolutely contradicts the Gemara. So when you read this version in English, sadly to say, you wouldn't even realize how bad this is. You have mentioned his power. In parentheses, Rashi does not say those words, obviously, in the preceding verse. Rashi doesn't say it. And together with his power, you find the mention of his humility, again in parentheses, which is not in Rashi's words. He executes judgment of the fatherless and the widow, which is really the heading of Rashi. Now, instead of reading the Hebrew, because we're not that good at it, let's just read the Rashi right now without the paragraph, without the parentheses, and see how it reads. It goes like this. The heading of the Rashi, that's always partial and important, it says he executes judgment of the fatherless and the widow. What does execute judgment follow? Rashi says, you have mention of his power. Mention of his power. Implies that when Rashi is referring to these words, the power of God is in executing judgment toward the fatherless and the widow. Next words, because remember, we're skipping those parentheses. And together, this famous idea that Gemara says, with his power, you find mention of his humility, which Rashi now, since there's no parentheses here, go to the next words, and he loves the stranger and gives him bread and rain. So the way, now this is not my question. On the Talmud, there's an interpretation in the back, a world classic interpretation called the Maharsha. Rav Maharsha, Rav Edels, in the back says that obviously if you read the Talmudic passage, Hashem's might is based on master of the universe, and his concern for, and humility is based on caring for the widows and orphans. But when you read the Rashi as is, it doesn't come out the way. Rashi as is seems to say without these parentheses in there, that the execution of the judgment is what's called great, and somehow dealing with a convert is called humility and concern. Now that I'm saying ignore the parentheses, let's see the Hebrew, because much less words here. Here goes the words. I'm going to show you. Oisa, I'm going with the line. Charles says you could see it. Oisa mishpat, he does judgment. Yosam is for a orphan. Va'aman and a widow. Hare, that is gvura, strength. By the way, the Eitzel next to strength, Furasai, Atamoitzi and Venasa, you'll find his humility, which is the next words here, of he loves the ger. So you see what just happened there? That's the problem here. Again, what Safaria did correctly was they put in parentheses, which is one way of reading the Rashi, which is not openly in the words at all. That reading the Rashi, you have mention of his power in the preceding verse. Oh, wait, Rashi doesn't say that, which would mean when you read a Rashi, you normally would say that the heading of Rashi and the interpretation of the words go hand in hand. That would be ABCs of reading a Rashi. So if you knew nothing, you're a third grader now in a school learning Rashi, they would tell you, execution of his judgment of his fatherless and his widow, you have mentioned his power. You wouldn't add in the preceding verse. No, that's not what it says. It would mean that that's called power. And by the way, every time you mention power, and it teaches, and together with his power, you're also going to mention humility. No, skip those next words. They're in parentheses. And what is that? The next word Rashi says, he loves the stranger. So, the Maharsha, 1600s, says that if when you're reading the Talmud passage, the Rashi and the Talmud do not come out at all together. And he says, I don't know what's going to happen. Now, because of this problem of the Maharsha, because of this problem of how to read the Rashi, some of the later commentators, later means, by the way, we're going back 500 years ago, some of the later commentators have read the Rashi like we have in front of us by the English. That they put the words of Rashi in that, no. Rashi really talks about a heading in this verse 18, and for some reason in this verse 18, they now say you have mention of his power in the preceding verse, something I wouldn't do, and they say, okay, put a period at the end of Megillah 31a, and then put in a heading the next Rashi. So again, it's good, because if you read the English the way it is, you'll never come up with this question, which is great. But if you read the Hebrew, and you read like the Marshal in the 1600s, you're coming out with a bomb question. Rashi seems to be completely different in reality to what the Gemara says. The Gemara says his might was that he's master of the universe, which is good, but it's a different pasuk, and it coming down to us is humility based on dealing with orphans and widows. Rashi doesn't mention the verse before at all. He's not mentioning what God's up here. He's starting off down here. Humility is based on the mention of his power is based on widows and orphans. That's up here. He puts it up here. What do you do down here? The next pasuk, which is really the same pasuk, which is talking about the stranger. So you see over here, by the way, it's all in one pasuk, which makes sense. Rashi's defining it one pasuk. When you say next to each other, the same pasuk. Now, you have to understand why a widow and an orphan judgment is called powerful and giving bread is called humility. So I think on the simple interpretation, you say that judgment is a powerful concept. It represents power, and giving, it represents more humility. I don't think the ger is more of a downtrodden, what was the word, butterfly, as Charles said before, compared to the orphan slash widow. I don't think it's that.
You could follow you look above, you go the mighty and the awesome, and then the fatherless and the widow are lower, but they're still Jews, and the stranger is even lower than that.
I mean, we like to say the converts are equal to all Jews, and odds, right?
Well, but here he says the stranger doesn't say the convert.
You are
providing food and clothing.
It's the ger. In Hebrew, it says ger.
And it says, for you were the strangers in the land of Egypt.
It's talking about a convert.
I don't know why I use the word. Oh, I guess convert and strangers, that's a word that Safari uses. I don't think anyone else uses the word stranger. They would use convert. Love the guy. By the way, to prove it, Rosen, I'm not saying you. To prove it, as far as I know, in the 613 commandments, this verse 19 is one of the 613 commandments to show love to the convert. So clearly it's going on a convert. Not the phraseology necessarily in English, but in Hebrew, the haftam esager is one of the 613 commandments.
Okay, so
what we have here again, just as a start, before the English Rashi in front of us is doctored up, we'll use the word doctored up with the parentheses, we'll go with that first, because that's easier, is that the Rashi is with the Gemara, run the world on top, deal with the orphans on bottom. When you read the simple interpretation of Rashi, you have a major issue, because on top you have him doing the orphans, and on bottom, the stranger. But the problem is the orphans went from the bottom to the top now. What does that mean? And we said that one of the reasons Rashi might do it is because he wants to be in one verse, which makes sense. But the Talmud's not doing it, and that's the question. Now, there are going to be many, many commentators, not many talk about this, so I take that back. Of the few commentators I found that discuss this, too few, to be honest, three or four do what this doctored version of the Safari is doing. They're actually changing these parentheses on purpose in order to make sure the Rashi makes sense with the Gemara, which I understand that that's a goal. But again, reading the Rashi, these words do not seem to necessarily fit in. So we have to figure out what happened here.
The Rashi back in Hebrew, because I'm not understanding what you're talking about. Because the Rashi in translation doesn't seem to match what you're describing Rashi. Could you put it back into Hebrew, please?
Yes.
What it says.
I'm going to translate very simply now. This means, Oisa, he upholds Mishpat, the cause, the judgment, Yasam, the fatherless, Almana, the widow. Hare, this is Gvura, might or strength. By the way, period, the Eitzel, next to Furase, strength and might, you will find, Ata, might, you will find, and Vanase, his, again, the word they use, humility, which clearly implies from this word, this is Gvura, that means on the preceding words. This is the heading of Rashi.
Upholding
fatherless and widow. And that's what Rashi is. This is Gvura. What they did now in English is they said, no, this is Gvura is going back on the pasuk before. Up here, we don't have it here. That these words of Gvura are going on the pasuk before. And these words now, from this word, Ve'etzel, till here, this second line is all going on the heading. So really, Rashi added in two words that don't belong. This should have been on the verse before. Doesn't seem to read well. That's what I'm saying. No?
Are you arguing with Safari, or are you arguing against Rashi? I don't understand your argument.
When you read the Hebrew in Rashi, When you read the Hebrew and Rashi, it seems that Rashi and the Gemara are not the same. Some answer and explain Rashi this way to make Rashi work with the Gemara. When you say you have mentioned his power, which seems to be on these words right here, but if when you put in these in parentheses in the preceding verse, not in our Rashi at all, then okay, then Rashi fits in with the Gemara well. It means the power and awesomeness is in this verse right here, because that's Hashem Elokeinu, what we just said. And together with his power, you find the mention of humility, which is this thing right here, fatherless and widow, which again is not in our Rashi. So what they did was, is they took the word of the power and in Rashi's words and put it into the preceding verse. Rashi didn't do that. And they take the humility and they put into this, into these words, on which is how the Gemara worked it out. So these people took an interpretation on Rashi, which is some do. The Sefari did not make this up. In the 1600s, 1700s, even 1900s, people have tried to move the Rashi around with different manuscripts to make Rashi fit with the Gemara. The Marsha does not do that. He reads Rashi as is in Hebrew. He reads it the way we have it right in front of us like this. And he says, by the way, Rashi and the Gemara don't fit together. And the Marsha says, it's bewildering why Rashi would really misquote. He says, argue on a Gemara. Now, by the way, this is also parentheses, which means according to the Marsha, this is not the same as the Gemara. The Gemara does not say what Rashi is saying here. Rashi says these words, help out the fatherless and the widows, is called strength. The Gemara doesn't say that.
What makes anybody think that verse 17 refers to Gevurah? It doesn't give any example of actions, except it says, shows no favor and takes no bribe.
Now excellent. I'll show you right here. Hold on.
What is that?
This is where we got it from. We got it from right here. Because when the Gemara discussed it, let me go down a little bit. The Gemara said right here, it is written the Torah for the Lord your God, and God, that's this Pasuk 17. And it's written immediately afterward, displaying his humility. And the Gemara said right before, Rabbi Yechon said, anytime you'll find his might, you'll find his humility. Might is 17, humility is 18. I'm saying when you read the verses inside in the Chumash, like Rashi says it, Rashi ignores the whole Pasuk 17. So when he talks about might, he talks about the first half of 18, and when he talks about humility, he talks about the second half of 18. Completely ignoring verse 17.
But Rashi, because verse 17 doesn't show any action that would indicate might.
Excellent.
Descriptions of, but Rashi, we have always descriptions of Hashem. But when you would say to show might, you'd have to say, oh, he took us out of Egypt. Oh, he created the world. Where does it say that? It doesn't say it.
Well, it says he's the supreme Lord supreme.
Yeah, understand that. Supreme Lord supreme. But what is that example? Might literally means Gevurah or strength in a certain passive. So where is that example of Lord Supreme showing Gevurah? Where's the action involved in saying Lord Supreme?
Excellent.
He's the king at the top of the top, but what has he done?
Excellent.
Okay.
I'm using yours to give one of my answers.
Okay.
Rosen, you're following so far, right?
I'm here.
Good. So that's our question. What Charles's answer is one of the approaches that I worked on. I took the first half from someone else and I put it into my words, which is now going to be Charles's words. So I saw a rabbi not long ago. Now this, again, so the basic question starts in the 1600s. When the Marsha said, when you look at the Hebrew of Rashi, he's definitely not like the Gemara. And then you have from the 1600s till very recently, people maneuvering around Rashi's words with different manuscripts and different types of stuff, which is all fine. You're allowed to do that. It's not a problem. Hold on. And okay. So one of the answers I saw brought like this. That the Gemara and Rashi are coming on two different time periods. The Gemara is referring to when Hashem is in control, when we see it, based on Migdash time, everything's on top of the world. And Rashi is discussing more like exile. My modified words, now what Charles fits in as well. When Hashem is running the world in its beauty, time of the base of Migdash, then we don't have to notice any actions of God. God's in front of us as he's the Lord Supreme and God Supreme. That is perfect. We see his might. That is his might because we get to see the actual sense of whatever we call godliness in the world. We see it. But when we're in exile, we don't get to see God. In exile, he's what we call Hester. He's hidden. He's a hidden being. We don't see him. So how do we know anything about God at that point in time? The strength in God is when we see how he's now is in the attributes that we see as the result. We can't see him. He's hidden. We get to see the result. So when Hashem is doing his best, then we say is, okay, Hashem is great. Now we see the greatness. What do we know from it? We see he even deals with us. That's humility. Because when we see the power, the fact that he's willing to care for us, it wasn't a different word to see. I forgot what the word was. When he works with us, then we get to see the bottom of it, that we're seeing it in humility that he actually deals with us. When he's this great and he deals with us, that's automatically called humility. cares. Now, I remember that was the word, cares for us. But when we're in exile, and Rashi's discussing the exile, then Rashi says, no, we don't get to see God at all. So what we have in the strength, we don't see nothing. We only get to see that he's actually caring for people. That's called his strength. And what's amazing is, Rashi's not mentioning what humility is at all. Because you know what? There is no humility and strength. Hashem, we don't have an access to a visual of what God's like. Like Charles said, we don't see anything. We just know he's there. So in a world like now, in exile, which I'm adding to Charles's idea, when you don't know there's a God in the world, you don't get to see it because it's hidden, then Charles's question is good. That's not anything. That's not showing might. You're right, because now we don't see anything. Therefore, I'm adding to Charles, the seeing of the might is how he deals with the orphans and widows. But when God's supreme, where we get to see it, then of course we don't have to see any might because we're seeing God that is might. That is the definition of the might. So how do we know humility? Because he's actually dealing with us. He's dealing with the spider webs. So it's possible to say, this is what I thank you guys for, that this part of the first part I saw by somebody else, that the beginning, the difference between Rashi and the Gemara, is because Rashi says, wow, Rashi is against the Gemara. Yeah, no, Rashi is different than the Gemara because he's referring to a different time period. The Gemara is referring to when God's in his might. Makes sense. That's what it's talking about. So then I'll give you humility. Rashi's saying, no, I'm dealing with exile when there is no great might to see. So what are you going to see now as might? Which makes sense that Rashi now is switching. What we held before as humility now becomes might. Look at this in the Gemara here. How do I get rid of this on top now? How do I switch screens? Hold on. How am I doing it? How come I can't get to the other screen, Charles? How do I get rid of this black thing that's covering it? Hold on. Let's move up. I don't see it here. Oh, let's see this. I think it's here. Oh, got rid of this. Right there. Now you see here, look at these things. Because I said before, look at how these words here fit in perfectly in a non-strength situation. Humility, which means the Gemara is being consistent. Well, look what the Gemara is doing. When it talks about the greatness, Lord of the Lords, it talks about the greatness, high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. Positive. Again, he extols him who rides upon the clouds. That's all great stuff. In the humility part, he executes judgments, and he has here the Father of the Fathers. Because the Gemara is being consistent. All three cases we said, something that's repeated and repeated, because the Gemara is referring to a time of when Hashem's greatness is shown to the world. When it's shown to the world, the minor issue is he dealing with us. But when we don't have the greatness, then the major issue becomes how he deals with us. And that's what I thought potentially to say tonight. I see a clicker that I'm running out of time here. So we end with this. That there is a potential, just as to know in general, that's my answer, work with somebody else, that there is an issue of how we know the greatness and of God versus the humility. The Gemara on its surface says greatness that he runs the world, humility is that he deals with the orphans. Rashi says greatness he deals with the orphans. It seems humility is a convert, but maybe Rashi doesn't mention it at all. If you look at the Rashi again, he doesn't mention, he just says there is a concept of humility. And together with his power, you could mention his humility. It doesn't necessarily mean anything else. It doesn't mean necessarily that the convert's less. Again, you could say the convert is he's loving it as opposed to judging it. So judges might, you could say that as well. Or you could say, no, he's just saying that the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't get to see anything, he's not in his greatness, and he's still here, and he's still dealing with us, that really shows both. Shows the might in universe at the same time. He's showing us might and showing us humility altogether.